Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your life. Thank you, Father, for your word. I thank you, Father, that you've put forth your hand and touched my mouth, and that my thoughts are your thoughts, and that my words will be your words, and that I can give utterance to your heart concerning this matter, concerning spiritual gifts, that we can find freedom born in our hearts in the area of spiritual gifts, and we can find a feeling of safety and comfort concerning them, and we can find that any pain or any anxiety that's attached itself to the idea of spiritual gifts because of a carnal presentation of the gifts, that can be ripped from people's hearts, and that their lives can be born from the foundation of the truth about spiritual gifts and not from the foundation of the pain or a lie that they saw connected to spiritual gifts, that our life can just be one of freedom and not one of fear. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I don't know if this is going to happen, but, you know, sometimes I get caught up in just liking to preach one message at a time with a different topic every message. Ironically, that's just something I like to do, and I don't know if it happened because I had a law in my head that said people will listen more if you change the message every week, you know? Because as Americans, and probably all over the world, we can become a bit finicky. You know, we see a movie and we think we saw the whole thing. We don't need to see it again. And then we translate that into preaching. And we'll say, well, I heard about spiritual gifts last week, Greg, and the week before, and the week before. I don't want to hear about it anymore. And so then the pressure can be for me to be like, well, no one's going to listen anymore, so let me move on to something else. But I just feel like God's got us sticking here for a little while. And I don't know if that's going to be because we'll package this up in like series and send them out to people, or if these are going to be series that are going to be part of some Bible college. Who knows? Who cares? All I know is that he asked me to continue talking about it, so we're going to at least do it for one more week, and then we'll see where we'll get from there, if I can figure out where we at. Where are we at? And we're going to call this, Should We Seek Spiritual Gifts? Or Seeking Spiritual Gifts, something like that. Should we seek spiritual gifts? You know, and I think a lot of us in the church can relate to seeking of spiritual gifts. And I think most of us at one point or another have been confronted with the idea of spiritual gifts and whether or not we should have them or not have them, or whether or not they should be a priority or not a priority, whether or not we should be seeking to have them or not seeking to have them. How do these things work? Now, through the course of all that, I think we've seen a lot of carnality manifested in the area of spiritual gifts, where we find a lot of the same things that happened at the church in Corinth happening in our fellowship concerning spiritual gifts, where because we made spiritual gifts the focus, a lot of leaders and ministers and just people that come into the church, every time we come together to have fellowship, we all think that we have to manifest some spiritual gift in front of everybody so everybody can think that we have the Holy Spirit, or so that we can prove ourselves to be valuable to God and to the fellowship based on us manifesting some spiritual gift. Now, because of that, a lot of the spiritual gifts were born from the place of carnality, and it turned a lot of people off. But that doesn't mean that the spiritual gifts will not manifest in the fellowship. That does not mean that the spiritual gifts will not make themselves real in the fellowship. But what it means is it won't be born from a platform of trying to prove how full of the Spirit I am. Okay? So I won't do things in order for the people to believe that I'm a man of God. I won't do things in order to try to prove I have the Spirit. I won't come to church looking to find the platform so where I can prove myself to be so full of the Spirit by what gift can manifest in me. Because what happened in Corinth is they made the spiritual gifts the focus, and they all came to the fellowship all trying to demonstrate how full of the Spirit they were. And what it did was it caused chaos in the fellowship. Okay? Now, because of Paul's teaching about spiritual gifts, we've gotten so many doctrines floating around about spiritual gifts that it's just crazy. And so I'm going to finish up explaining these gifts and how they work and what Paul was teaching in 1 Corinthians 12 and 13, because we got a lot of wacky stuff out there. And if you think that if I come against something you believe today and it upsets you, just know that I'm not against you, and just know that I've also come from the place of having some wacky beliefs that had to be ripped out of me. And so it's okay. And so when I come against things that are false beliefs, I'm never coming against a person. I'm coming against the belief. And like I think I said this last week, but please give me grace because I don't know how to preach any other way but boldly. So I know sometimes we can define ourselves so much by what we believe that if someone speaks boldly against something we've always believed, we take it personal. But just know from the foundation of this message, there's nothing personal. And I've been where you're at. So if I'm coming against something you believe, it doesn't mean I'm better than you and you're less than me. For I have also been in the place where I was believing things wrongly too. And that didn't make me less of a human being. It didn't make me less valuable. It didn't make me less pleasing to God or less acceptable to God. And so let us all be able to come together and just take a hard look at things, take a hard look at what we believe and see what's what. And see what the Bible actually says instead of what we determine the Bible says because of some error or some pain we experienced at a wrong teaching concerning spiritual gifts. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we want to be able to embrace spiritual gifts, but at the same time, without them becoming the end goal of our life in the Spirit. And then them morphing into some standard where we use to judge ourselves and others by. Okay, we don't want to have a zeal for spiritual things without any understanding about spiritual things because we'll find our identity in the gifts that manifest in us and the way they can manifest in us. And then what happens when we do that is that our fellowship with each other becomes defined by the works of the flesh and chaos instead of love and order. Okay. And today was a great example of what happened. You know, it's not necessarily like Simon gave a word, Aaron and Beth gave a word. It's not necessarily like all of a sudden they just felt God in their ear saying, "Thus saith the Lord." It was that they felt something in their heart because they're filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke it forth. Now, do you see how there was order with what happened? One person spoke, and then when they were done, another person spoke. And then when they were done, another person spoke. It wasn't everybody trying to speak at the same time and everybody trying to come with some word and everybody trying to grab the microphone to prove how full of the Spirit they are. You see? Because we've preached the cross so much in this church that we don't define ourselves by what gifts manifest in us or how they manifest. We don't define ourselves by what we do, so we're not looking to make a fair show in the flesh by proving how valuable what we are with some word we can give. Okay? And then order can be born, okay, in the church. And then we don't see all the chaos and we don't see all the confusion. Listen, if the manifestation of the spiritual gifts in the fellowship is so full of chaos and confusion that it disrupts, then that's not profiting everybody. You see what I'm saying? The people who are being disrupted are not profiting. In fact, they're not receiving anything. They're just so distracted that they don't know what's going on here. And Paul addresses this when he talks about praying in tongues. And I'm out of order here in the message, but who cares? One of the primary reasons Paul spoke of this was because there was chaos going on in the fellowship. Because they made seeking spiritual things and spiritual gifts the most important thing. There was chaos. And Paul comes in and says, "Listen, man, what good will it do for an unbeliever if they come in and see all this? What will they think? Can they be edified by what's going on here? Or will they walk in and say to themselves, these guys are crazy?" And then they'll walk out. Now, if the end goal is to reveal Christ in people, we want to enjoy our fellowship. We want to find a big love fest. But we don't want to find that our love fest drives the unbelievers away. For then how will they hear about Christ? Okay? And so this is one of the things Paul was talking about. If you like to just be a big distraction, he said, if you love praying in tongues, he said, I pray in tongues more than you all. He said, but listen, man, unless you're now going to interpret what it is you just said in tongues, do it to yourself. You see what I'm saying? Because when you pray in tongues all crazy out loud, nobody else can be blessed by it because they can't understand what you're saying. You see what I'm saying? It's the same kind of way with anything that's uber spiritual. If something's going on in the fellowship that's just causing a huge distraction for everybody, and you're now not going to get up and explain what was happening to you or what was going on, or there isn't going to be somebody standing there explaining what was happening so all the people can be edified, it's only going to lead to chaos and confusion. You see what I'm saying? Now, what we've done, because we saw all the chaos and confusion, we do what we always do as human beings. We say, well, then, those things, they can't be true. Those things are gone. They cease to exist. Oh, now I feel better. Now I feel better about all that chaos and confusion. Those things cease to exist. Paul did not come in when he found the chaos and confusion and say, listen, man, those things don't exist anymore. He came in and he demonstrated how these things would work. He came in and demonstrated how they would go together and how they function in the fellowship. And then he also demonstrated their proper pecking order. He demonstrated their priority in the fellowship. He demonstrated their priority in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He demonstrated how they work. Glory to God. Okay, and from this platform, we're going to try and understand some of these things. And I'll pick up where I left off, and we left off in 1 Corinthians 12, and I think I had Becky get rid of this verse. So I'll just read it. But I gave a brief description of the gifts and how they worked, but that wasn't the primary goal. I didn't feel to explain in great detail each gift because I'm not trying to send you out to figure out how to manifest the gift yourself. I'm just going to talk about how they exist, and what's going to happen is, through your union with God, you'll find whatever gift manifesting in you effortlessly. So the end goal isn't for me to detail explanation on them all and then send you out to try to bring it to pass, right? But we'll cover a little bit of it. In chapter 12, he's talking about how there's different gifts. There's different manifestations of the gift. We don't judge whether the Spirit's in a person based on how the Spirit manifests in them or based on how they operate in the gifts. There's different administrations. There's various gifts. There's different ways those gifts will happen, but they all come from the same Holy Spirit, and they all come filled with the same power to accomplish the ministry of the Holy Spirit, which is to shed abroad the love of God in the hearts of people by revealing their likeness in Christ and Him crucified. Hallelujah. And so he says, all these gifts do the same thing, people. So if one guy prays in tongues and another guy prophesies, it doesn't mean that one guy has the Spirit and one guy doesn't. It doesn't mean that one guy's gift is better than another guy's gift, because both gifts are doing the same thing. Glory to God. So he says, to another, discerning of spirits. To another, discerning of spirits. And real quick before I talk about that, it's important the gifts be put in focus. Otherwise, we find our lives born from the platform where we're seeking spiritual gifts. We're seeking the manifestation of the Spirit as the number one thing. And now we're living in a place of immaturity where we have to get our fix from some spiritual manifestation or from some spiritual gift manifesting. That's not the thing. The end goal is for the love of God to be shed abroad in your heart. Okay, so when we describe these gifts, sometimes when they were functioning from the carnal place, we lived week to week coming to fellowship just hoping to get some word for ourselves, just hoping somebody would call us out and say, thus saith the Lord, so that we could feel so full of value and worth and we could say, glory to God, God has something awesome for me to do, and that's why I'm so valuable. Listen, man, that's carnal. If you're living from that place, it's okay. Don't feel condemned, but that's not the end goal for your life. For you to be seeking a word week to week so you can get by. That's like eating baby food when I didn't have teeth. Okay? But when I grow teeth, I don't want to keep eating baby food. Okay? So maturity, spiritual maturity, is defined as the love of God being shed abroad in my heart. And when I find the love of God being shed abroad in my heart, I've been set free from this desire to seek some word week to week, or to seek some manifestation of the Spirit week to week, so I can believe that I'm valuable to God and He's here. I know I'm valuable to God, and I know He's in me because He raised Jesus as my representative and sat Him at His right hand inside of the Godhead, and I find the fullness of the Godhead manifesting in me bodily, and so I'm thinking together, walking together, feeling together with God, and I'm all the time immersed in His love, and so now I don't need some word. But do you know, 15 years ago, when I didn't understand Jesus was the only truth about my life, I went to church every week hoping to get a word, hoping to get some healing or something that I could say, glory to God, God is with me. You know, now I realize how carnal that really was, because I was just looking to feel like I was better than somebody else. Because when you know yourself according to the flesh, you judge each other against each other. And so if I can get a word, that will show how valuable I am to God and in His purpose. You hear how ridiculous that sounds? Hallelujah. So be set free for that. So he says, to one person has been given this gift, that gift, blah, 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 all these gifts. To another, discerning of spirits. Now this discerning of spirits gift is not a gift where we all the time walking around looking at people and finding spirits in them. Okay? That's not what it means to be discerning of spirits. It doesn't mean I come up to a guy and say, I see that you have the spirit of Jezebel in you. It's not where you come up to a guy and you say, I see that you have the spirit of lust. It's not where you come up to a guy and you see all these different kinds of spirits in him. That's not what discerning of spirits is. There is two kinds of spirits, okay? And spirit means the wisdom of God. We just taught about how the Holy Spirit is the wisdom of God. So the gift of discerning of spirits means that you're discerning whether a dream, a prophecy, a word, a teaching, or a manifestation of something is of God or whether it's of the spirit of the Antichrist. You're discerning whether is this the wisdom of God, this word, this vision, this dream, or is it the spirit of the Antichrist? That's the discerning of spirits gift, okay? We got all uber spiritual, and we looked at everybody, and we were like, well, man, they got dark circles under their eyes. They must have the spirit of alcoholism. Or some guy is just intense, so maybe he gets angry sometimes. You got the spirit of anger, brother. We got to cast that thing out, man. I could get way off on the tangent now about what Jesus was doing when he was casting demons out, but it ain't like what we've been taught or think. Glory to God. He was bearing witness to himself being the thing that would free all of us from the wisdom of Satan. That's what he was doing when he did those things. But we were carnal. We were not spiritual, so we could not understand spiritual things. So we came manifesting things in the flesh, carnally, so that we could connect to them. Glory to God. So we're not sent out to cast out all these demons out of people, man. Okay? That doesn't mean it can't happen, but it doesn't mean that's what the discerning of spirits is. Glory to God. If I could discern the spirit that was in them, why do I need to ask them the name? If that's what the discerning of spirits is. Anybody was taught that? Find out the name of the demon that's in the person and then cast it out. Listen, I don't need to know the name of the demon. I know the one who is full of power to set them free from whatever wisdom inside of them is tormenting them. Glory to God. And also just declare this wisdom and reveal Christ in them. We see an example of the gift of discerning of spirits with John. Now, 1 John, he comes in and he observes that a Gnostic teaching had come in and taught the people how they could partake of eternal life through their own self-effort and willpower to restrain their flesh, which means that I will restrain myself through my ability to discipline myself, and from that platform, I'll have life. Now, that's having life through the works of your own hands. So John comes in, he has the gift of discerning of spirits, and he sees that that wisdom is not the wisdom of God, but rather it's the wisdom of the Antichrist. And so he comes in and he tells those guys, listen, man, that teaching these Gnostics came to you with is not of the God, it's not of the Holy Spirit, it's not of God's spirit, but it's of the spirit of the evil one. That's discerning of spirits. Paul, when he found the Galatian church wanting to go back to the law of Moses, wanting to be circumcised so they can be right in front of God, he comes in and he says, who has bewitched you? He had discerning of spirits. He knew this wisdom that had come into that church was not the wisdom of God. And he comes in and he gets rid of that thing. Okay? So the discerning of spirits is something that happens effortlessly inside a person. Well, they just find the ability to like really dissect something that they see or that someone reveals to them about, is that the spirit of God or is that the spirit of Satan? Is this trying to bring life to the person or will this kill the person? It's like, boom, it's just like you see things clearly, you know, like that. It's like the guy in the Matrix, you know, where he didn't see the world like everybody else. He saw the Matrix and he was able to dissect what was going on. That's the discerning of spirits. I can sit with the person, and anybody who has this gift can sit with the person. They can talk with the person. The person can share what's going on in their life. And then you could see the wisdom that's at work behind what's going on in their life. And you can see what part of that wisdom can be set free from them. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's how it happens, man. To another, diverse kinds of tongues, Paul says. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. Now, Paul describes this later on in his explanation of spiritual gifts as a language that is unknown to men. Okay? If you look in chapter 14, he says, he who speaks in tongues speaks unto God, not unto man. Okay? So Paul describes this gift of speaking in tongues as a language that is unknown to man, but that it's known to God. And what the speaking of tongues, or the gift of speaking in tongues is it's speaking forth, Paul said, the mysteries of God in the Spirit. Okay? So God has revealed all his heart and what Paul called the oracles of God. He revealed everything in Christ. And what Paul says is the speaking of tongues, or what we call the praying of tongues, however you like it, it is the praying or speaking forth the mysteries that are contained in God that were revealed in Christ in tongues or in the Spirit. Okay? That's what he's talking about. Now, what he says is, and I think I said this before, but he said a person speaking in tongues is not edifying those around them. Okay? They're not building anybody up around them. They're building themselves up. What are they building themselves up? He said they're edifying themselves. Well, if you're speaking forth the mysteries of God in the Spirit, what you're doing is you're building yourself up in the faith or the mystery of God that was revealed in Christ and Him crucified. That's what the speaking of tongues is. You're building yourself up in the faith. Now listen, this is not the only way to be built up in the faith. It is not anywhere in the Bible that says this is the most powerful way to build yourself up in the faith. It doesn't say this is the only way to be built up in the faith, but it says that it can build you up in the faith because you're speaking forth the mysteries of God in the Spirit. Maybe there's something that I don't understand in my head or in my heart about Christ and Him crucified, but I'm filled with the Spirit and I can speak forth the mysteries of God by praying in tongues, and that can edify me in the things that I don't understand. Okay? Now, that doesn't mean another guy can't be edified a different way. It doesn't mean another guy can't be built up in the same wisdom with the same amount of power in a completely different way. Okay? We've gotten into this habit of trying to find the formula to work to have some power. Okay? And so we think, well, if that's how it works here, I need to do that. So do not find some lust born in your heart that says, well, I need to be able to do that so I can understand the wisdom of God. No, no, no. If you desire to understand the wisdom of God, what you do is you make yourself available for Him to teach you by telling Him you desire to know the wisdom of God, and then let Him bring forth the way that you'll understand the wisdom of God Himself. Glory to God. Okay? Tongues upsets everybody. It's funny how we don't get upset about the other gifts, but we get real upset about tongues. Human beings, including myself, we're interesting creatures, aren't we? I mean, we can just enjoy watching each other, can't we? And we see why God has so much fun watching us. Glory to God. You know, but I'll jump ahead. If you keep reading in Paul's explanation of spiritual gifts in chapter 14, he gets to the end of what he's saying, and he says, do not forbid anyone to speak in tongues. He says, do not forbid the speaking of tongues. Now listen, if the tongues were not a part of the spiritual gifts, not a part of the body, why would Paul now come in and say, don't forbid anyone from speaking in tongues? You see, what happens is we take a little stretch of Scripture out of context, and then we determine our doctrines taking Scriptures completely out of context. And so I'll get to this and what it's talking about. This gift can also manifest in a guy speaking a foreign language that is not the language that they're learned in. He could be in a situation where he's around a bunch of people that doesn't speak his language, and he could find the Holy Spirit can speak forth the oracles of God in their language without him even knowing that language. You see what I'm saying? I've seen a guy do that. Okay? Now listen, I don't say that I've seen that very often, but God can do whatever he wants to do or whatever he needs to do in order to minister Christ to other people. And so the gift of various tongues can manifest in that way. If a guy is in Russia and he can't speak Russian, but God is trying to minister the gospel to them, they've never heard Jesus before, and then they'll find themselves speaking in tongues or speaking in a foreign language that they don't know. And they'll think, my goodness, man, what was that? The guy who ordained me did that. And afterwards, he looked around and, how did I do that? He thought he was just praying in tongues and all the people understood what he said. He was in Russia. And he was like, what just happened? Now, he didn't try to make that happen, nor did he try to get God to give it to him so he could do it. It was the Spirit working the Spirit's will to reveal Christ in people and bring them into the fellowship of the Godhead and shed abroad the love of God in their hearts. That was the Spirit doing it. We saw this, the speaking of tongues, as a sign in Acts, where the tongues fell on the people on the day of Pentecost, or the Holy Spirit fell on the people. The glory of God, the Shekinah glory of God, inhabited the people. And they found that they were speaking in foreign languages. And all the people came in and they heard their dialect or their specific language being spoken of in tongues. And they thought the people were all crazy. And Paul said, this is the fulfillment of the prophecy that said, there will come a day where I'll pour out my Holy Spirit on all flesh. Now, all flesh means the Holy Spirit will be poured out into the earth. But if you know the history of Jews and Gentiles, the Jews thought God was only for them. But the Holy Spirit was going to be poured out and made available for all people, Jews and Gentiles alike. And so these guys were all speaking the gospel in a foreign language. And they all came in and heard it. And so that's another way that the gifts manifested. So it's a sign, in that instance, in the book of Acts, it was a sign and a wonder that the gospel was going to be declared to every nation, to every people. Okay? Glory to God. Not just to Jewish people. Thank you, Jesus. We know that tongues is not just talking about someone speaking in a human dialect they are unlearned in, because 1 Corinthians, Paul said, like I said before, he says a person speaking in tongues is not talking to man, but talking to God. Okay? So if I'm talking to God and I'm not talking to man, it must mean that it's not a human dialect. Okay? So it isn't just the manifestation of speaking in foreign languages. It's also the manifestation of speaking to God. Hallelujah. The way this comes forth, you know, I think a lot of people think that the way that the gift of tongue comes forth is that, like, it's some type of possession, you know, where, like, you're just standing there and all of a sudden, you know, that ain't how it happens, okay? That's not what the gift of tongues is. It's not that you're just standing there and all of a sudden the God comes and the Holy Spirit takes you over and forces you to start doing this thing. That's not how the gift of tongues manifests, okay? In the same way that I have to give utterance to my language now in order to speak in tongues, I also have to give utterance to the tongues. Okay? Now, I may not be in control of the way that it sounds or exactly how it will come out, but if I don't open my mouth and if I don't give it utterance, it ain't coming out. God ain't gonna make you do it. Okay? God doesn't take you over and make you do something. That's not how God works. What's that phrase we like to say? God's a gentleman. God's a gentleman. Glory to God. So that's not how it's gonna work, guys. If you desire to speak in tongues, and we'll pray at the end, from a platform of innocence, and we'll just let the desires in our heart go towards God, and we'll just let it be, okay? But it's of your own free will and accord. It's not something you're going to do through your own ability. And as far as the interpreter, well, that's the next one, huh? Right, I'm jumping ahead. To another, the interpretation of tongues. So the gift of interpreting tongues is that I can hear another guy praying in tongues and I can interpret what they're saying in the human dialect of the people that are in the church. So if a guy's praying in tongues, I can then come in and I can interpret what he's saying so that I can translate it to everybody else and they can be edified in what that guy is saying. Okay? That's the gift of interpretation of tongues. Now, it's not just that you can interpret somebody else's tongues, but you can also interpret your own tongues. Okay? So you could pray in tongues, and if you have the gift of interpretation of tongues, you could then explain to everybody what it is you're saying. Okay? So many times, when I'm during praise and worship, I pray in tongues. Not because I have to, not because I think it will give me something that I don't already have, not because, or any of that. It's because I'm just fellowshipping with God and I desire to do it. And so I give utterance to it under my breath because it's edifying me in that moment. But many times what I find is when I get up from praise and worship and I come and stand up here, something comes out of me that I had no idea that I was going to say that has nothing to do with the message. And many people often say, that was the best part of the whole day. You see, because I was in fellowship with God, and something just came out of me from that fellowship. See, I was interpreting what the Spirit was praying through me that I didn't know that was contained in the mysteries of God. And that's oftentimes what will happen when somebody gets a word. They were in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit. And I don't say praying in tongues is the only way you can be in the Spirit. I don't find that anywhere in the Scriptures. And I think we've confused that kind of a thing. I think a person could just be, you know, meditating with the Father, meditating with God, and find a word come forth. You know, I think we've gotten too much into judging and identifying people with these things. Paul also said, listen, in the fellowship, or when we come together, unless there's the gift of interpreting tongues, there's no reason for you guys to come and pray out loud in tongues, because nobody can be edified. So unless somebody's going to get up and interpret what you just said, or unless you're going to interpret what you just said, hey man, pray to yourself. Glory to God. You know? Hallelujah. So the way that we're looking at these gifts manifesting is organic and effortlessly, where we may not even know that the gift or a gift is manifesting, but we're just thinking together with God, we're feeling together with God, and we're manifesting together with God, where we're so full of God that we're manifesting His Spirit in this earth. Okay? And so many times these gifts will function organically and effortlessly, where so many people right now in the church might be thinking, but I've never manifested those gifts. Baloney. I can almost guarantee all of you have manifested these gifts and you didn't even know it. All of you have given some word of wisdom. All of you have given some word of knowledge. All of you have prophesied to somebody to build them up, to exhort, and to encourage them, because when you were fellowshipping with them, you just felt something in your heart to say to them. That's you thinking and feeling together with God. Okay? So we've gotten into this whole exploitation of the gifts where we think it's got to happen, where we stop the whole procession and we say, I am now going to manifest this gift. Behold. That's not how it works, man. I could be chilling with Maurice, having lunch, and Maurice could say something to me because he just felt it in his heart. He won't even know why he felt it in his heart. He won't even know what it's going to do to me. He won't even know that necessarily came from God, but he just gives utterance to it. And lo and behold, it just so happens that was him and God co-thinking together. And now I could walk away and find the life of God being born in me, and Maurice may not know he said anything. You see what I'm saying? That's how it can work often. The guy that came up to me in Colorado and prophesied to me and said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you, and read my mail, he had no idea that I was thinking those things, and I never told him afterwards. So he walked away thinking, well, I said what I said, but he doesn't even necessarily know what it meant to me. And that's how these things happen. We've gotten too big on, well, it's got to be a display. It's got to be a show. Everybody's got to know it. No. This is things that happen in between our fellowship with each other all the time that can also happen in the church, and it can also happen out loud where we give a word. Okay? Glory to God. There's no judging of these things as right or wrong. So Paul is not teaching when he says, when he gets to the end of chapter 12, he starts talking about, is everybody this? Is everybody that? Is everybody do this? We have to understand what he's saying before he even began talking about those verses. The Corinthians were judging who had the Spirit based on what gift they had. So Paul was not saying that these gifts can't manifest in everybody at any given moment in order to minister life to them and also minister life to all the people around them. He was not teaching that these gifts can't manifest in everybody, but he was teaching we don't judge people based on the gift that manifests in them. Glory to God. Okay, so don't find yourself walking out of here thinking, well, I can't manifest these gifts. Those gifts aren't. No. Every gift can manifest in every person at any given time that it's needed to bring forth life in that person or in the people around them. Glory to God. And all we do is we embrace that the gifts are real and we make ourselves available for the Spirit to manifest in us any way the Spirit wants to in order to bring forth life. Hallelujah. What we've done is we say, no, the Spirit can't do what He wants. It's only going to be the way I want it. Hallelujah. That's not freedom, man. Nor is the Spirit saying hallelujah to that. Oh, man. So the Spirit can quicken everybody with these gifts at any given moment, any given time to say something, you know, to bless somebody. Thank you, Jesus. So Paul, he was just dealing with the errors in the Corinthians' understanding of spiritual gifts and the problems it was causing in their fellowship with one another when they come together. That's what he was dealing with when he started this whole dissertation. He's dealing with themselves, with the Corinthians, knowing themselves according to spiritual gifts and judging one another based on these gifts they have manifesting in their lives and how they operate in them that came as a result of making the manifestation of spiritual gifts the end goal of the Spirit. You know, if we have a list, and I struggle to say it this way, but I'll say it in a carnal way. If we have a list, and on the list we have 1 through 10, 1 being the most important thing, the Corinthians had spiritual gifts, number 1. That was a problem, okay? And so Paul comes in to put spiritual gifts in its proper order, okay? That's what he does. It's like, and I think some people have experienced this because I've met a lot of people. We see a very close representation of what was going on in Corinth in really the whole charismatic movement or the whole movement where we all started waking up to the fact that the Holy Spirit was actually in us and real and could do some things where we made the number one thing going up and accosting everybody who we met that was a believer or saved, and we'd come up to them and we'd say things like, have you been baptized with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues? You see, that was the mind of Corinth. What we were doing is we were coming and we were judging a person of whether or not they were filled with the Spirit, whether or not they had spoken in tongues. And we were coming up to them and we were saying, listen, man, unless you've had the evidence of speaking in tongues, you don't have the Spirit. That's the thing Paul's teaching against. It's looking at us and the gifts that are manifesting and then judging whether or not a person has the Spirit or judging the power that is coming out of a person that has the Spirit. You see, and what happened was, because we got all carnal with the gifts, when a person is confronted with that, what's the first thing they're going to think? Well, if they hadn't spoken in tongues, the first thing they're going to think is, well, that ain't true, A, but B, I can't believe in this tongues thing then. Because they see the fruit being to accuse people. And they say, that's not the voice of the Father. And see, what happened was, instead of saying, well, there's error in that doctrine, they dismissed the whole spiritual gifts right off the bat. Because they say the voice of the Father doesn't accuse people like that. And it's true, the voice of the Father doesn't accuse people that way, but let us not swing from this side of the error all the way over to this side of the error, which is what we as human beings do. I see it nonstop. It's like, if we felt pain over here, our heart says, well, the easiest way to avoid the pain at all is to swing all the way back over here. And then we miss out, or we lose sight of some of the things the Spirit's trying to do. Okay? So, can all speak in tongues if they want to? Yes. Can all prophesy if they want to? Yes. Can all function in the word of wisdom, in the word of knowledge if they want to? Yes. Can all do this? Yes. But whether or not they do it can never be a voice about how valuable they are to God or to people. It can never be a voice about how full they are with the Spirit. It can never be a voice about them being able to minister to people by preaching Christ and Him crucified. And what happened was is we gave it a voice. It can never be a voice. Whether you speak in tongues, never, can never be a voice about how close you are to God, how full of the Spirit you are, or how much wisdom you have about God. None of these gifts could ever be a voice about your fellowship with God. And see, we gave them a voice. You see, when we don't give them a voice, what happens is we don't make them numero uno. Right? And the magical thing that can happen is that when we don't make them numero uno, when we don't function from a carnal platform about these gifts, what can happen is we'll find them happening accidentally. And we'll find them just manifesting accidentally, where we won't be looking around and thinking, wow, man, I'm really full of God. Look what I did today. You hear how ridiculous that sounds? But that's what we were doing, right? We were looking, our soul was looking to feel its value by some manifestation of a spiritual gift because our soul hadn't seen that God spoke something so beautifully about us in Jesus when He raised us from the dead and sat us at the right hand of God. Well, our soul was seeking to find fulfillment in something other than Christ. A spiritual gift can never fulfill you in your soul. Glory to God. Guys, when we get rid of that, we'll find freedom in this area. Hallelujah. So 1 Corinthians, We may have one more week of this, guys, because I just go off cuff every time. I'm so sorry. I really desire to get through the message when we come in. I promise, but it just doesn't happen. And you see, I have a law inside of myself that says, unless I get through the message, it's no good. You see, and so you see how that subverts me. And so then I'm like, oh my goodness, what happened? Oh, hallelujah. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11 and 12. Says, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ, or so also is the body of Christ. Okay? That's what he's talking about here. So just as a human body has, just as a human body is one, my body here has arms, it has legs, it has feet, it has ears, it has a mouth. This body is one, although there's many different parts of this body, it's one body. Likewise, in the body of Christ, we have many different members within the body of Christ that are looked at through the spiritual gifts manifesting in each one of us. The different spiritual gifts and the different ways they can manifest in each one of us gives the body of Christ many different members, but they're also one. You see? So we're not one based on which gift manifests in us. All of the gifts are part of the same body, so all of us are one. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's what he's talking about here. So the way the Spirit manifests in each of us is not an indication of whether or not we are part of the body or an indication of our value to the body of Christ. You guys see that? The manifestation of the Spirit in you may be one of loving people. The manifestation of the Spirit in you may be one where you help another guy be free to just preach. And that helps the body of Christ be edified and built up into Christ and Him crucified. It helps the body of Christ be brought into maturity. Okay? So the spiritual gifts manifest differently. Just like there's different members in one body, the spiritual gifts manifesting in us differently make us different members of the same body, but the body all still being one and the body all still needing each other to function properly. Glory to God. And I, at this point, through these verses, I jumped to the, I left out a couple here so we can try and get through this and hit what we're trying to hit. Verse 14 through 15 of the same chapter. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Okay? So though, Paul's talking about spiritual gifts, and he's equating them to having different members of the same body. And what he's saying is, it doesn't matter what member you are of that one body, it doesn't mean you're not part of the body. And no other part of the body can say to a different part of the body that I don't need you. Do you see what I'm saying? So what's happened is, when we judged ourselves, or we make an inaccurate interpretation of tongues, it's what Paul's talking here. It'd be like a guy who has a teaching gift, and that guy is a member of the body. It would be like that guy, if the teacher guy is a leg, or let's say the teacher guy is an arm, it'd be like the arm saying, I don't need the mouth. You see? And Paul says, no. All the spiritual gifts, just like their body is many members but one body, all the spiritual gifts make up the body of Christ, and they're all one body, even though they're different members. And despite there being different members, no one member or part of that body can say the other part or the other member is not needed. But that's what we've all done. And yet, we take his teaching to teach that. Yet he specifically says here that one part of the body cannot say to another part of the body that you're not needed. But that's what we do now. We look at each other, we look at the gifts that can manifest, and then we say, well, I don't function in that gift, so that gift isn't needed. And so now here I am, the mouth, telling the eyes, I don't need you. You see what I'm saying? Guys, I've done it too. It's like I said last week, look around, look at your neighbors and say, you know you did it too. It's okay, man. We can rejoice and move on. So what he says is where would the body be without all of the spiritual gifts? Not some. He said, where would the body be if there weren't all of the spiritual gifts manifesting? Where would the body be if it didn't have all the members, he says? How would it function? How would it accomplish what it's supposed to accomplish in the earth? How will the manifestation of the love of God be born in the earth through the body of Christ if it doesn't have all of the members? If it doesn't have all of the spiritual gifts manifesting? Where would the body be? So he says, in the same way, you cannot have a body without the different parts of that body. You cannot have the body of Christ without all the spiritual gifts and the different manifestation of these gifts. And the spiritual gifts that are manifested in us through the Holy Spirit animating our bodies are designed to bring us into maturity by revealing the likeness of Christ and Him crucified in us, in order that we can find the likeness of ourselves in His death and in His resurrection. Okay, so where would the body be in that if we don't have all the members? If we don't have all the spiritual gifts, where would the body be? Okay, this is the work of the Spirit. The end goal of spiritual gifts is to bring us into maturity, where we're knowing ourselves the way God has always known us. And in order to shed abroad the love of God in our hearts, that's why Paul said, hope maketh not ashamed, because the Holy Spirit is with us, shedding abroad the love of God in our hearts while we're in this earth. That's what the Holy Spirit's trying to do. Now, one of the ways He does this is by bringing the body together and then manifesting Himself differently in each member of the body, in order that the body can edify itself and build itself up into maturity by revealing Christ and Him crucified, by us exhorting each other into the truth, and then the love of God can be born in the earth, and then we can be the light of the world in the earth, just like Jesus was when He was in the earth. Glory to God. This aspect, apart from all these different manifestations, guys, the aspect of the Spirit, of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, isn't possible. So without all the different manifestations of the Spirit, where would the body be, and how would we be brought into maturity? Now, you see, what this does is that in this, we can honor and value each part of the body the same. We can give honor and value to each part of the body equally, just like we did, just like we would if we didn't define ourselves by the gifts, but we would define ourselves by Christ. So when we can understand the gifts this way, that where would the body be without each gift, we won't start casting off the gifts, we won't devalue somebody based on the gifts, but we'll all be of an equal value, and we'll all honor and value each gift that manifests in each person the same. And then what happens is that's freedom in the area of spiritual gifts, and then our fellowship with one another can be born from the Spirit instead of being born from the flesh. You know how you know the interpretation of saying that praying in tongues is not of God? What happens is it causes you to separate yourself from people that are of God. It brings division. It doesn't bring unity. So listen, I may have an immature brother or sister in my midst, or that's part of our fellowship, and they may think that they're supposed to be praying in tongues all out loud in the fellowship, and they may be causing confusion, but the Spirit of God, or the gift of discerning of spirits, does not now come and circumcise that guy from the fellowship and move him out and say, you're not of God. That guy's got the Spirit too. So what I do is, I come with the Word, I explain the way this gift manifests. I explain the way it functions in the church so that it doesn't cause chaos and disorder. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So when we look at where would the body be, and this will be good because I can finish up the second half of this next week. It'll be Super Bowl week, and so it'll be a shorter message. Glory to God. You know, and so we can hear the rest of this and get out of here. But when we look at an example of where would the body be without all the spiritual gifts. So this only what I ask of all of us that have said tongues are gone. Will you now also say prophecy is gone? Will you now also say the word of wisdom is gone? Will you now also say the word of knowledge is gone? Will you also now say that the gift of service is gone? The gift of feeding the poor? Because Paul mentions that gift in there too. And if you won't say that that's gone too, then how can you say the gift of tongues is gone also? You're circumcising one part. So where would the body be when we look at Jesus? Now, Jesus came manifesting all the different spiritual gifts. He came manifesting every gift, okay? Every form of the spiritual gift was manifesting out of Jesus. Now, imagine if Jesus had only come manifesting the gift of working miracles. Where would his ministry be? Where would his ministry be if he just came manifesting working miracles? Lots of people were working miracles that were false. They weren't the Messiah. So where would his ministry be if he was just manifesting spiritual or the working of miracles? We would not have believed on him for salvation from sin and death. We would have sought him out for miracles. If he only came manifesting the gift of teacher, where would his ministry be in the earth? If he only came teaching that he was the Lamb of God that forgives or takes away the sin of the world, how would I believe that what he said was true unless he could testify that there was forgiveness of sin in him by healing people? That's why he healed people, because he was testifying, but so that you might know that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sin. Stand up and walk. You see, he couldn't have just come teaching that there was forgiveness in him, because how do I know there really is? He could just be a lunatic. There were many lunatics. But you know what he said? So that you might know that the thing I just taught you is the truth, and that there's authority, there is forgiveness of sin in me, stand up and walk. You see, the body working as one. The ministry of the Spirit working in Jesus as one. Now, where would his ministry have been if he didn't have the gift of working miracles? Where would his ministry have been if he didn't have the gift of teaching? Where would it have been? Who would have not seen? This is the guy I'm supposed to believe on. I need to see that there's forgiveness in this guy. How do I know there's forgiveness in this guy? You see, there's teaching. And then there's the proof. Signs and wonders that proves it. Glory to God. So, in the same way, we could say, where would the ministry of Jesus be apart from the different manifestations of the Spirit in him? We can also say, where would the body of Christ be without or apart from the different manifestations of the Spirit in each of us? Where would it be without all of these different manifestations? The body of Christ is a type of the Word made flesh in the earth. In the same way, the ministry of Jesus would be incomplete to fulfill its purpose without all the different manifestations of the Spirit in him. In that same way, the body of Christ would also be incomplete with all the different spiritual gifts manifesting in each one of us. Okay? So let us not segregate each other. Let us not take each other apart from each other, because we say, I don't need the leg. I don't need the hand. I don't need the eye. I am the mouth, and all I need is the mouth. Listen, if you're the mouth and you think all you need is you, you're going to be in a most miserable state. Glory to God. So listen, when Paul explains these verses, and this is where we get caught up, because we function carnally for so long, we hear these things, and our first thought is, if we don't think we've seen them, our first thought is, well, I got to work them up. I got to go get them. No, that's not it. So Paul is not giving a directive to do something or to manifest something. He's not giving some teaching so that we can hear what we're supposed to do and then go do it. That's not what he's doing. What he's doing is he's giving an explanation of the way the Spirit is doing something to keep us from error in understanding spiritual gifts. That's all he's doing. To keep us from error in our understanding of spiritual gifts, in order that our fellowship not be defined by chaos and envy and puffed upness and backbiting and division, but that our fellowship would be defined by love. Okay? That's what he's doing. That's what he's doing. Okay? So we don't hear this explanation of gifts and say, I need to get me some gifts. If that's the thing you're thinking, stay after church and let me preach the cross to you. Okay? Glory to God. This is a balancing act. This doesn't mean we make gifts the focus and now go try to bring them forth so we can create the body of Christ in the earth ourselves. These verses are not a directive to do something. They're an explanation of the way that the Spirit is doing something, so we don't find our understanding of spiritual gifts and their operation born from the flesh. We want to look at the gifts from the perspective that we have been crucified to every kind of life where we do to become. We want to hear about the gifts and remember that we've been crucified to every kind of a life where we do something to become something, or we do something to prove we're something. Okay? And that's where the gifts get out of track. The Corinthians were trying to do something to prove they were something. The proof that you are something is that Jesus is your representative and he's in the position of honor and glory at the right hand of God. That's the proof. You don't need no more proof. Okay? You don't need no more proof. That's just the way that it is. Okay? So we don't want to take this message and do something to bring it to pass through our own self-effort. And I know this is a hard saying, you know, and for those of you that think, man, Greg, you're brash sometimes. You're just up there running your mouth. You're bold, blah, blah, blah. I don't disagree with what you say, but I am very sensitive also to the hearts of people. And the whole reason why I do what I do is because I love people. And I've waited for 3 years to preach about spiritual gifts because I was sensitive to the fact that we had a church that was kind of split down the middle of people that had been taught they had passed away. And we had half of the people that believed they weren't passed away. And so being sensitive to that, I thought, you know, we're going to preach grace hard for 3 years, and then we're going to build on this. And then we're going to let this thing be revealed. And that wasn't me doing it because I wanted to. That was me and God feeling and thinking together. I can't care for people unless God first cared for them. I couldn't care for you guys unless God first cared for you. And then because he's born in me, now I care for you. Hallelujah. Otherwise, I would have got up here and just been like, forget everybody. Bam! You know? But that's not how it went down. But I love this church, and I love the people we have in this church, and I love, what's that word for it? And somebody probably knows better than me. What is it? Is it the Bereans? Is it the Bereans that search the Scriptures? Is that right, Maurice? The Bereans? Yeah, the Bereans. So, this will give everybody something to think about before I go into next week, and it'll give you an idea so you can think in advance, because sometimes you get knocked upside the head, and you don't really have time to process. And this will give you time to kind of think about these things going into next week. But when we read 1 Corinthians 13, where Paul starts talking about the spiritual gifts, okay, and he starts talking about the gifts being in part, when he starts talking about that, here's what we define Paul's explanation by. If we go to the last verse in chapter 12, and I might have that one up here. The last verse in chapter 12. So he explained all the gifts. He explained we need all the gifts in the body. He explained that they function. But look what he says. And now he's dealing with the same error that I just tried to deal with. He says, lest you think the gifts are the number one thing to get, lest you now covet and desire these gifts, lest you now lust after these gifts and make them the number one thing, or you think that that's what I'm doing when I explain them, now I will show unto you a more excellent way. Okay? So all of chapter 13 is Paul comparing spiritual gifts with love. All of chapter 13 is Paul comparing which one is full of more power, the spiritual gifts or love. Which one is the end goal? Spiritual gifts or love? Because when I can understand the end goal of the ministry of the Spirit, it puts the pecking order in line. Okay? And so as Paul is trying to not erase spiritual gifts from the body of Christ, but he's trying to put them in their proper order. And so now he comes and he says, listen, you may think all these spiritual gifts are awesome. They're pretty cool, man, and they do play a role, and they do accomplish something. But let me show you numero uno. Let me show you now numero uno. Okay? And some of you say, well, Greg, I don't know. How can we believe that? And I'll leave you guys with these two verses. And maybe I have this one too. Sometimes it can help everybody to look at it. Yeah. So right after Paul supposedly got finished doing away with all the spiritual gifts and saying they won't exist anymore, look what he says. In light of what I've just told you about spiritual gifts and about love, in light of this explanation I just gave to you, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. So how does a guy who just taught everybody to get rid of all the spiritual gifts come in and now tell them to desire the spiritual gifts? How does he do that? Desire spiritual gifts. And when you look at this in the Greek, follow after charity means make following or pursuing love your chief aim, not spiritual gifts. And then when you look at desire spiritual gifts, he says as a secondary thing in your fellowship, you can desire spiritual gifts. And that's why after he tells them how tongues spoken out loud causes massive chaos, he comes in at the end and he says, lest you be confused and think I'm teaching you that there are no tongues, don't forbid anybody from speaking in tongues. I mean, he really hammers home the whole point in the confusion. He hammers it home when we want to look at all the chapters instead of just one little 10-verse clip. So, guys, meditate on this. The Bereans we have out there, those of you that think you're not Bereans, man, meditate on it also. You might be surprised what the Spirit of God can reveal to you. Glory to God. And we'll come together next week, and I'm going to explain the love chapter and what Paul was actually talking about and how it went down. Glory to God. Thank you, Father, for these beautiful people. I thank you, Father, that we can come together in love. And that we can see that love is the chief aim. And we can see that love does not envy. Love is not puffed up. Love does not attempt to segregate people off from themselves. But love rather draws people in. I thank you, Father, that our understanding of gifts can be born from love and they can be born from freedom. And that that which has been made crooked by wisdom of the world or by a carnal manifestation of gifts can be made straight by the declaration of the gospel and the foundation of Christ and Him crucified. I thank you, Father, that we could desire these gifts from a spiritual platform and not from a carnal platform. Father, if there's anybody in here that just desires to manifest the Spirit, Lord, either show them that they already are or show them that they can be at rest and that you'll bring yourself forth through them when it's needed. I thank you, Father, that as I pray right now for the manifestation of spiritual gifts in people's lives, that we're not asking amiss. We're not asking for the manifestation of spiritual gifts so that we can prove that we're something or so that we can believe how valuable we are, Lord, but that because we just want to make ourselves available to you and your Spirit and to whichever way you want to manifest yourselves in us so that we can edify one another and build each other up in love. I thank you, Father, from this platform that spiritual gifts are going to manifest in people effortlessly and that they won't even know they're manifesting and that it won't even be like some shocking thing that a gift manifested, but we'll just be walking around thinking this is what it's like to walk in the cool of the day. This is what it's like to walk in the Spirit. This is what fellowshipping with one another in the Spirit is like. Hallelujah. Amen.